Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go. Welcome, everyone. Welcome. I'm glad that you're here with us in person, and for all of you here online, we haven't forgotten you. We're so glad that you are joining us there as well. I know that there are many who are, for precautionary reasons, for all sorts of different reasons, are watching online, and we are glad that that is available to you, and I'm thankful for the stream team and all of the volunteers who have put this together, even despite the many challenges of this time of year. So thankful to all of them. I just want to reflect on a little part of the Christmas story that we've already actually read, but I want to talk about that a little bit. You know, all of us, I would like to think, in one way or another, want heaven, right? All of us want that. All of us want that future. We, you know, some of us may be a little bit concerned, but what happens after we die, I'm not sure, but all of us, I think, would agree, hey, I want heaven. And we have this inside urge or this inside instinct that, well, if I'm going to get heaven, it means that, well, I'd better be a pretty good person. You know, I'd better be a moral person. I'd better do all the right things, or at least all the good things I need to do have to outweigh all my bad. Or perhaps you are in one religion or another, and you think that following a certain number of precepts, following a certain pathway, that will get you to heaven. In other words, we've got to chase after heaven. We've got to earn it. We've got to make it work for us. We've got to do all of the things that are necessary to achieve it. And I want to share with you this truth from Christmas this morning. Heaven isn't something that you need to chase after. Heaven is chasing after you. That is the Christmas story, because God is pursuing you. I want to show you the story that we've already written it. We've already read. I want to show you how heaven itself emptied out to pursue each and every one of you. I'm going to open up to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to go through these verses quite quickly. And this is what these verses say in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Isn't that interesting? The first instruction that the angel gives to these shepherds is, "Do not be afraid." That doesn't make much sense in the way that we think about angels, does it? Do you guys remember those Philadelphia cream cheese commercials, right? With the little very happy angels, very feathery, very kind of bubbly. That's kind of the pop culture version of what an angel is. But an angel from heaven would have been glorious and terrifying, beautiful, yet holy. It would have been quite a scene. In fact, if you notice there, it says this all happened at night. And we're talking ancient Near Eastern night. We're talking night from 2,000 years ago. No light pollution like you're experiencing in Toronto. We're talking it's dark. So imagine a black canvas, and suddenly blistering lightning lights up the sky. Or imagine 10,000 camera flashes all at once. Or imagine, you know, your roommate wakes you up with a flashlight right in the eyes. I mean, you'd be terrified. But these shepherds are terrified for reasons beyond merely that they were stunned by the light. Whenever we see God showing his glory to people throughout Scripture, humans hit the floor. We hit the ground. We hit the deck. And we say, "God, don't judge me." Isn't that a strange reaction to have to God? But you know what? You've actually experienced this in your life in one way or another. Have you ever had an honored guest come to your house, right? And you think your house is pretty clean, it's pretty neat, pretty tidy. But the moment that honored guest comes in the house, whether it's, you know, someone famous or perhaps someone of high prestige, the moment they come into the house, all of a sudden, in your brain, your house is a wreck. There's dust everywhere. Everything's out of place. This isn't the appropriate place for this person of honor to come. You've experienced this. Maybe you've got some pretty colorful language that you usually speak with amongst your friends, but then your boss walks into the room. Or maybe your in-laws, and you clean up that language right away. Or maybe you're watching Netflix and, you know, you're kind of watching a bit of a lewd show. You don't really want people to know what kind of show that you're watching. And then your in-laws or your boss or whoever comes into the room and you're quickly changing to another video, aren't you? When that great person or that honored person or that, can I say it, that holier person comes into the room, we can't help but feel a little ashamed, a little guilty, a little bit like we want to cower. Now imagine that, except multiply it by a billion, because this is the glorious, holy God, and his glory is being shown to these shepherds, and they're terrified. They're terrified because they believe that heaven has opened up to condemn them, to judge them. And if the glory of the Lord were to show up right in this moment, right now, immediately what you would feel is, well, you'd remember all of the things that you've done against God. You'd remember all of the terrible things you've done, all of the, let's say it, evil that we've done to others, perhaps the promise that you made to God that you didn't follow through on. You'd remember all that, and you'd cower in shame, and you'd think, I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy to be in God's presence. That's what these shepherds were experiencing. And if we were all in their shoes, we would be cowering in fear as well. But that's why it's so stunning, because these angels show up and they say, or this angel, excuse me, shows up and says, do not be afraid. Why not? If it were me, like these shepherds, I would probably be saying, hey, shut heaven up. Go back to heaven. I'm not worthy. I stand condemned before the glory of God. I'm not holy. I'm not worthy. Can you just go away? But the angel comes and says, do not be afraid. Why? Here's why. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will be cause of great joy for all the people. Heaven has not opened up to condemn. It has opened up to give us good news. And, you know, good news is actually the same word as gospel. Gospel and good news, those are actually the same words. So these angels have come to provide a gospel that will bring us joy, not condemnation. It's kind of like if you were at a courtroom and you were caught red-handed and the judge was about to hit the gavel and pronounce your sentence. But at the last minute, as the gavel was about to come down, instead, the judge throws the gavel away, confetti falls from the ground, balloons fly up, and he starts throwing you a party. I mean, you'd be confused. You'd think, oh, what are you doing? What about the thing I did? What about the sentence that was about to go against me? Where did that all go? You'd be shocked. You'd be confused. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Why? Because today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Heaven has opened up not to condemn, but to announce the salvation of the world. Those sins that cause us to feel shame in the presence of God have been taken care of by this Jesus. He will grow up. He will die on the cross, and he will sacrifice himself for our sakes, so that all who believe in him will be forgiven of their sins. The angels have come to announce that. Heaven has opened up to pursue us, not to condemn us. And even more than this, even more than Jesus coming to forgive us. You know, this is incredible. You might have heard before, maybe you've come to church many times before, you probably have heard that Jesus will forgive your sin if you believe in him. Absolutely. But you know what? It's greater than that. When you believe on Jesus Christ, not only are you forgiven of your sin, but Jesus gives you his perfect righteousness. So that when God looks at you, he's not just seeing a forgiven sinner. He's seeing his own child. He's seeing his own precious son or daughter. So that when we stand in the presence of God, we don't have a reason to be ashamed. We don't have a reason to draw back. No, we can be embraced by God, our Heavenly Father. This is Christmas. Heaven has opened up for us, not to condemn us, but to pursue us. And then this wonderful thing happens in the next verse, verse 13. It says this, suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Get this picture. There was one angel, that would have been glorious enough. But then heaven empties out of its angels, and the multitude of angels fills the sky, and the shepherds receive this little tiny glimpse of the glory of heaven. They enter into the worship of God in heaven, where these beautiful, glorious, terrifying, yet wonderful creatures are worshiping Jesus Christ. Heaven emptied to pursue you and me. The invitation that they gave is the same one that we've been giving as believers in Christ for 2,000 years since then. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Believe on him and enter into the eternal worship and glory of God. Because here's something that you might not have thought about. These shepherds saw something wonderful and glorious. They saw all of these angels worshiping God. That would have been wonderful. But what's in store for all those who believe in him? What's in store for you if you believe in him is so much greater. It won't just be angels lighting up the sky in heaven. Oh, no. It'll be God himself. His beauty, his wonder, his majesty, ever abounding in glory, ever new in wondrous splendor. God himself. It'll make these angels look like little candles. God's glory and his presence is heaven. And these angels came from heaven to announce this to you. And the shepherds respond. Look, in verse 15, it says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They responded to the invitation and went to worship at the feet of Jesus. What will we do? The invitation is still here. Heaven is still pursuing you. How do I know? Because that invitation is still here for you right now. Consider this just another angelic call. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Believe on him and enter into the glory of heaven in God's presence forever and ever and ever. We're about to light these candles and sing a final song. I've instructed someone to light a candle on each of these rows, and I hope you'll be gracious in lighting the person's candle that is near you. If you do not want to participate for whatever reason, please just don't have a candle at the ready, and that's fine. And as we light these candles and we sing this final song, I just want this candle to represent to you a small glimmer of the glory of Christ and the love of God in your heart. As we take on these candles and we light them with one another, may we be filled with the glory, the hope, and the wonder of Christ. Hey, Christmas, it's not about the gifts. It's not about the movies. It's not even about the get-togethers. It's about this. Heaven is pursuing you.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.